Well, take your Bibles. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 22. Didn't you guys love to worship today? If I sound funny, I still got like some sores and things in my mouth, and I've been very under the weather lately. Not something you can catch, I don't think, but everybody's been sure to tell me, you really don't look good today. So let's all do that at one time together. Just tell me, you really don't look good today. Go ahead and say that. Okay, it's out of our system. All right. Can't help how I look. And I might start sweating and crying. Who knows what happens? But we're going to get to God's word today because, listen, one of the most important names of God here at Abraham gives to God because he experienced God, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Lord, don't forget, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that's the highest name of the Almighty God. So when you see Jehovah, as we use it in the English language today, it's the highest name of God. All right, I want to go to Genesis 22, and we got a lot of turning if we get to it today. So take your Bible, a copy of God's Word, turn to Genesis 22. We're going to begin at verse 1. Does anyone know what's happened up to this point? For Abraham, he's already had a name change, so his name used to be Abram. God told him to leave his country. He was a pagan. The man served all kind of idols. God called him out, said, leave your family. Come on. I'm going to send you to a place that you don't know, and I'm going to show you. Did Abraham obey God initially? He got up and went, but guess who he took with him? Lot. Did Lot get him in trouble? Well, yeah, if you heard of Sodom and Gomorrah and other things, Abraham had a problem. He didn't fully trust God when God would speak. And so even his wife, if you read chapter 20 and 21, when we get to this point, he gives God this name, God will provide. But he didn't always believe that. As a matter of fact, he and his wife, Sarah was a beautiful woman, the Bible says. And even up into her 90s, this is when she's going to have this child. You imagine that? What depressing news would that be? I mean, she was excited because it was God's promise. But could you imagine having a kid nearly 100 years old? Oh, that had to be a miracle. And living through that had to be a miracle. But they had this covenant together. Well, and it's kind of a dirty secret if you've not been to church much. Abraham and Sarah were half brothers and sisters. Same mother, different father. And they married each other. So they had this covenant that, hey, you're very attractive. If we go down into a different land as we travel to go to this, wherever God's sending us, if we get captured, you tell everybody you're my sister. She goes, okay, I'll tell everybody I'm your sister. And so a half-truth with intention to deceive is what? A whole lie. So if I tell you a half-truth, which they were telling the truth, but they intended to deceive so they wouldn't get, quote-unquote, killed because they didn't trust God. God said, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. That's why his name is Abraham. He got changed to Abraham from Abram. So God made a promise to him, but Abraham never really truly trusted God. He had that little... You ever done that yourself? You're just like, God will provide, but I just got to have this little nest egg. I just got to have this little security. I just need this backup plan. Well, if you read through chapters 19, 20, 21, Abraham and Sarah are always having that little backup plan. There's always something extra just in case God didn't come through. They had something for rainy days. Well, God said he would provide, and Abraham sees it very plainly. Let's read Genesis 22. Now it came to pass after these things. What things? Those things I was just telling you about. If you go back and look, Isaac's already been born or going to be born. He said to him, Abraham, he said, here I am. And your Bible translation there is a very powerful Hebrew word. The actual word is, here I am. I am ready to listen and obey. Try that with me. Say that with me. Here I am. I am ready to listen and obey. Imagine being on the go with God. If something's changed in Abraham at this point, God's calling him out. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey, and he took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. This next verse is pretty funny if you read the context. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father? And he said, here am I, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but what would you ask? Where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Did Abraham know where the lamb was? He's walking right beside him, right? As far as he knew. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. And then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there, and he placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand, that's knife in hand, basically, stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his own son. But the angel of the Lord called from heaven, said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here am I. And that's that same word again. Here am I am ready to listen and obey. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went, took the ram, and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the place, the name of the place, what does your Bible say? Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. As it is said this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you that you actually give us your word. Lord, we know this is potentially 4,000-year-old word that we're reading today and going, how can we apply that to our lives? And Lord, we can see very clearly we need you every minute of every day. We're like Abraham. We scheme and, Lord, we figure out plans in this life and how we can make it. And we really think we made it ourselves sometimes and not give you the credit. Father, what are we without you? We don't even own the breath of life that we have. May we understand this. May we be ready to say, here I am. I am ready to listen and obey, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, for his sake. Amen. Now, you didn't receive your bulletin notes because I wasn't sure I was going to be preaching this Sunday. I didn't know how I would feel today. And so I do have notes, but I'm going to give you some notes. If you take notes and write them down. After a lifetime of ups and downs, sinful failures, and faithful obedience, wise choices and foolish mistakes. Does that sound like our lives? Does that sound like your life? Have you lived any life at all? Let me read it again. A lifetime of ups and downs, sinful failures and faithful obedience, wise choices and foolish mistakes. You ever done the same, all those? Abraham had walked with God for nearly 40 years. God first called Abraham at age 75, and Isaac was born when Abraham was 100 years old. Just when Abraham could have celebrated God's miraculous provision, saying, God is good, God led him into an intense test of faith and devotion. And I put this down for you today. Spiritual tests are real. Spiritual tests are real. Where do they come from? Spiritual tests? They come from God. Why does God test us? In the sense, not tempting us to do sin. He doesn't do that. God, the Bible is very clear and explicit in the book of James that God never tempts us to sin. But God puts us through some things sometimes to see, so that we will see how we're going to end up. Does God already know? Is he sovereign? Does he know everything? He's all-knowing. But what does he want us to see out of this? He wants you and me to see ourselves and say, will I do what I say I'm going to do? Will I sing this song when it gets bad? Will I say God is my provider when I'm at my worst, when I'm at my best? Will I truly believe this with all of my heart? Look at your notes, if you would. Abraham had become so accustomed to hearing God's voice that when God called him, he immediately responded, here I am ready to listen and obey. Can you hear God's voice today? Can you honestly say, If we had an interview and we walked around with the microphone and said, when's the last time you heard the voice of God speak to you directly? And we stuck the microphone in your face, would you have a time? Would you have a response saying, oh, it was clear. God said, and if we're not careful, if God has done that in our life, and he will, God's trying to speak every moment of every day to us. If we're not careful, we say, oh, back in 1972, it was amazing. Or back in 2000, you wouldn't believe. And we always look back in time at a time that God's spoken. And listen, he did speak then, and those are spiritual markers in our lives. But it should be, last week, God told me to do this. Or God instructed me in this. And how does God speak primarily? We know this from studying. How does God speak primarily? Through the Bible, his holy word. That's how he answers prayers. He instructs you through the holy Bible, the authoritative source for life. Most people, even in the churches today, say we believe the Bible, but we don't read the Bible. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You're never going to grow in your spiritual life if you don't read and open this book. There is no way to get to know the God that you say you profess that you believe in unless you read his word. Amen? So when we read this and we look at Abraham, we're like, oh, perfect Abraham. He had it made. God had it. He had it made. Abraham was still dealing with his own failures at this time. But he entered God this time and said, here I am. I am ready to listen and obey. This is the same thing that Isaiah said to God. This is the same thing that Samuel said to God. If you look through the Bible, there's about 16 or 17 times when men stood up and said, here I am, I'm ready to listen, and I'm ready to obey. Because how many times are we ready to listen? Men, you've been married, if anybody's been married longer than 30 days, and you have any kind of counseling, what does your wife always say? He does it. Come on, he does it. Listen to me. And usually if the man gets a chance to talk, he always says, she doesn't stop talking. God's made us completely different, has he not? And what God wants us to do is not just hear, he wants us to listen. He doesn't want us just to listen, but he wants us to obey. Y'all, can you imagine when your life ends, and your life is going to end, can you imagine at the end of your life, when God shows you, when you look back over your life, of what you've accomplished, what you could have accomplished for him? Think of the sadness we're going to have and some of the joy moments we'll have, but don't you want to end well when you finish this life? Abraham finished well, by the way, if you go back and we read the book of Hebrews, as we went through, we read the book of James, we know that he finished well, but listen, he had a pretty tough go of it when he was going through life. Well, let's go to the next point. I want you to see this. God gave Abraham explicit instructions that, humanly speaking, seemed impossible to understand and devastating to carry out. He gave him, as it were, pagan instructions. God told him to do something that Abraham understood from his former life, his pagan life. God told him to take his own son, to kill him, and to burn him as a sacrifice to God. Now, did God ever authorize human sacrifice? Never. He forbid it. He told the Jews, have nothing to do with that. That's pagan worship. So humanly speaking, this sounds incredibly wrong. In love, Abraham, he moved forward in faith, strengthened by God's proven faithfulness throughout all the years of his life. Abraham was called friend of God. Here's a question before I finish that point. Would you be considered a friend of God? If you could go up to heaven and knock on the door and say, hey, I'm here. God's friend is here. Would they know your name at the gate? You say, well, yeah, I'm saved. Of course I'd be there. But are you a friend of God? Are you even friendly with God? God's written you 66 books, 66 letters. And imagine dating someone. I imagine back in the day when Wendy used to write me letters when I was overseas in the Navy, and she'd write me letters and I'd smell them. Right, until I could get the smell off, and then I would stick them in my bunk, and then I would get them back out, and I'd read them more than one time. I'd just read them over and over again. As I ate the crumbs of the cookies that were destroyed, she made me chocolate chip cookies. It didn't make it all the way. I always ate chocolate chip crumbs. But something about home and about her, I was like, I can keep going because I'm getting back, right? No matter what. If it's difficult, I'm getting back so I can see her again because I love her. But you imagine if Wendy wrote me 66 letters, and when I got back, she says, did you read my letters? And I'm like, no. She says, don't you care? Well, yeah, I love you. Well, I wrote you love letters. Yeah, I didn't have time. I was too busy. Does that sound like you and me today? Does that sound like me and you today? God has written us 66 love letters in the Bible. He wants you to know who he is. He wants you to understand him completely. Listen, he loves you. He's screaming throughout all of history from creation until the end, until, listen, there's a new heaven and new earth. God is saying, I love you. But how will you know that? Hear a preacher tell you once in a while? Hear a teacher tell you once in a while? Don't get it from your kid's picture Bible when you read it to him at nighttime. Read it for yourself, the actual words of God. In love, Abraham moved forward in faith, strengthened by God's proven faithfulness throughout the years. Abraham was called a friend of God, and that friendship was revealed through his willingness to trust God, even when the command made no sense. God, because you said so, it is so. How hard is that? I told you God's never going to call you to do anything that you can do. If it's possible, you say, yeah, I can do that. If I can do that, then it's either not God calling you or you're not listening 100% of what he's called you to do. Sometimes it could be actually do a job for God, to go into the ministry, and he's like, oh, I could do it part-time. Sometimes God's going to tell you to quit your job and move to a new location to be a missionary. You go, whew, maybe I could do that. Sometimes God's telling you to write a check, and you're like, oh, that's easy, I can do that. Then it's not a big enough check. Amen? God's always going to call you to do the impossible. And then when you do the impossible, when you say, like Abraham, here I am, I'm ready to listen and obey, what is God going to do? Laugh at you and punish you and kick you to the side and say, aha, I got them. Is that what he's going to do? No. He's God. Could he do what he needs to get done without you? That's a yes and no, right? He made you because he has a will for your life. How much money does God need? I laughed as Chris was telling us the actual amount for the GoFund. And by the GoFund, it's just continuously going. It's not just GoFund Thailand. Even that's where we're going this year. We've been going since Nicaragua. We've been going since Honduras. Where else? We've been going since God's called us to go. I don't know how many thousands of dollars have come to that GoFund, but we send our people on mission as God gives us opportunity to go on mission. We pay 100% for you to go. That's our goal for you if you're a member of the church. So to hear Chris say, we're over, stop giving. Don't stop giving, by the way, because that's for next year and the next time and next place. But I can remember when Chris was like, man, that's a lot of money we're going to raise. I said, we don't have to raise the money. If God has called us, Jehovah Jireh. Got it? If God has called us, the Lord will provide. And where does he provide? You heard me say it because I'm from the country. My God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory. And I've asked you time and time again, it hit me one Sunday when I was here, where is God's riches? They're sitting in your britches, that's right. It's your wallet. It's your bank account. It's your money. God, you didn't get that money just so God can let you just plunder it while you're here on earth and just spend it like crazy or save it, hoard it up so you die and then the state gets it. God gave you your resources so that you can actually make the kingdom grow. God gave you the ability to speak and God gave you the ability to go. God gave you athletics so you can actually make the kingdom expand. Does everybody understand that? What about Abraham? Did he understand that? He was looking for a land which was not right in front of him. What was the land he was looking for? He was looking for heaven. He just kept traveling through. He did everything God said to do, with a lot of bumps along the road. Well, look at this. Abraham prepared for the journey God had commanded him to take. He gathered up everything needed for worship on Mount Moriah. On the third day, don't miss these symbols here. On the third day, Abraham looked up and he saw the place where, as far as he knew, his son would die. Now, if you don't know this picture in the Old Testament, 2,000 years, this is a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ, God and his son. Abraham is a picture of God the Father, he's not God the Father. He's a picture of God the Father. Isaac is a picture of Jesus Christ. The Father's taken the son to the place. And by the way, Jesus died on this same mountain ridge, just so you know. The temple was built on this same mountain ridge, just so you know. Mount Moriah has a very special place in the heart of God. Most scholars believe it's on the same ridge where all this activity happens 2,000 years later. But the difference is Abraham took his son and God provided a lamb. Abraham did not have to kill his son. And his son, I'll let you see this. This is something interesting, and some scholars say he's even older. But when he looked up, he's like, oh, that's the place. Could you imagine taking your child? God says, when you make it to church this Sunday, you got to be the first one to sacrifice your kid at church. Would anybody have a flat tire or a reason for not coming today? You'd have 1,000 reasons. Lord, I can't. It makes me sick to my stomach to even think about it. How could you ask me something like this? Abraham comes back and says, here I am. I'm ready to listen and obey. Well, we know that if you know anything about God, would God cause human sacrifice again? The answer is no. So, what is Abraham doing? We have an insight because we read Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verses 17 through 19. The Bible says that Abraham knew that God would resurrect Isaac from the dead. So if he cut his throat and set him on fire and offered him as a fragrant offering to God, God would give him a new body. He believed in the resurrection. Go back and look for yourself. It's amazing. Hebrews 11, verses 17 through 19. Abraham believed that God would raise Isaac from the dead. He knew how to do it. He just believed. God said, do it. I'm doing it. How hard would that be? The word is extremely. That's right. Well, look at this. Isaac, likely around 15 years old. Some scholars say he's up to 30 years old. Notice something was missing and asked his father, hey, we have the fire in the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Where is the lamb? Now, what would a 15 or 30-year-old between that range, what is he going to say in our common vernacular today? Hey, Dad, what's up? We traveled 3 days to get here. We got our boys standing back there with the donkey. We're going up on the mountain. We got the wood. You got the pot of fire. Where's the lamb? Now, what would have happened if Abraham said, son, you're the lamb? I think Isaac might have been back to the donkey, don't you think? Right? Let me go back to the donkey. I'll wait with the guys. He didn't. He went with his dad. And when he gets there, if you read the scripture again, the Bible says Abraham set the wood, prepared the fire. There's a pot of fire that starts, a starter fire. It's over to the side. He binds Isaac, and Isaac willingly allowed his dad to tie him up. It's not some little boy going, yes, Daddy. This is a young man that's surrendering his life, saying, if this is what God said to do, I've seen God be faithful in our lives. If this is what God says to do, I'm going to do it as well. So Abraham is not only passing on a journey of faith to himself, but also to his son. Look at the next point. With faithful and loyal confidence, Abraham answered, my son, God will provide for himself a lamb for a burnt offering. He was fully convinced. When they arrived at the place God had appointed, Abraham built an altar. He arranged the wood, bound Isaac, and laid him on the altar. Just as Abraham was about to offer the sacrifice, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven. By name, Abraham immediately responded. What did he say? Here I am. I am ready to listen and obey. Can you say that with me again? Here I am. I'm ready to listen and obey. If we could truly live our lives like that, we would see Jehovah Jireh. We would hear him speak to us. We would see him work so actively in our lives if we would simply submit our lives to him. But we're too busy doing everything else, chasing everything else, wondering what social media says, whatever people say, what it says on the news, what's happening in Iran, how expensive gas is, diesel fuel is through the roof. Who's the one that's providing? Who is our provider? His name is Jehovah. His name is Jehovah Jireh. Well, lastly, God stopped the sacrifice because Abraham demonstrated his faithful fear, love, and obedience to him. By the providence of a God, a ram was caught in the thicket nearby. That was a pretty quiet lamb, don't you think? Because Isaac probably... Yeah. Right? You imagine he was doing that? There's a ram over there in the thicket, Dad. By the providence of God, a ram was caught in the thicket nearby. Abraham took the ram, offered it as a sacrifice in the place of his son. Abraham called the place Jehovah Jireh, meaning the Lord will provide. Well, we talk about this today and say, what does this have to do with Mother's Day? I have no idea. Happy Mother's Day. Only thing I know is Abraham got up early in the morning when he left. I believe so. He went up to hear Sarah tell him, what are you doing? Don't worry, honey. I'm taking our boy, our only son of promise, up to the mountain and I'm going to kill him. How would that go over Mother's Day? Not very good, would it? Here's what I want to challenge you today. We all find ourselves somewhere. Agree? Our lives are either full to the max. God's working. And man, we're seeing God work and we're so excited. Some of us are like, God who? He hasn't done anything for me. I'm struggling and I call out to him. And I ask him on time and time again. And I don't get any response from God. Can I challenge you to actually do an examination of yourself? Start touching those sore spots and say, where are you upset with God? What's your problem, brother or sister? And then when you have that problem, you can put your finger on, listen, I'm mad because God won't answer, and you fill in the blank and you put your finger on that spot. This is my issue. Can I ask you a question? Have you had other unanswered prayers or issues in your life in the past? Have you had other issues where God answered your prayer? Where God said yes to what you asked him for? Or where God said no and he moved you forward? Have you had other blessings in your life yet to this point? Can I encourage you to go back to that place where God has met you before and where God has provided for you? And you obviously seen clearly that only God could have done what he did. Go back to that place. Start over, and then go forward in Jesus' name, telling him very clearly, here I am. I am ready to listen and obey. If you're not prepared to prepare your heart, then you're not prepared. You're going to wish next Sunday, next year, maybe when I get older, maybe when this happens, you're going to keep wishing like a little kid, hoping that something's going to change, but what really needs to change is you, your perspective. Abraham said that very clearly to God, here I am, I'm ready to listen and obey. You go back and read that in the Hebrew and listen to it pronounced. It's a very powerful word that they would say, I'm ready, God, I'm ready. I wasn't ready yesterday, I wasn't ready back then, but I'm ready today. I want to hear you and I want to obey you. So let me ask you a question. Where are you today? Are you ready to at least listen to God? Maybe you're not on the obedience factor yet. Maybe you're not there yet. But are you at least willing to show up and say, here I am? You've got to make that decision. Are you willing to say, here I am, I'm ready to listen? Step two. Here I am, I'm ready to listen and obey. Step three. When you can walk in that, then you can sing Jehovah Jireh. God is my provider, because what's happening is you're trusting him for every step of every day. You go back and look what James 2 says about, listen, go with me to James, if you would, all the way to the book of James. Go way back in the book. 2,000 years later, this is written about Abraham. James chapter 2, Verse 19 and 20 through 23. When you're there, say amen, because it's important to see it. It's awesome to hear your pages turning. That's your love letters to God. God's love letters to you, I should say. James 2, 19. You believe there is one God? You do well. Even the demons believe that and tremble. But do you not know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scriptures was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for what? Righteousness. And he was called God's friend, the friend of God. All right, here's reality check. Abraham is dead. He hasn't lived 4,000 years, would you agree? He's alive and well in heaven, I'm sure, because he was a righteous man. But his time on earth is done, and his legacy is set in concrete. Friends, listen, here's my challenge to you. Where's your legacy today? When your pine box or whatever box, fancy box you put up here, whenever we have your funeral or you have it somewhere else, what are they going to say about you? This person told God, here I am. I'm ready to listen and obey. The challenge to you today is be that person. You say, well, I struggle with, okay, take your struggles and where do you turn them over to? To God. Where do you turn your worries to? God. Where do you turn your burdens to? God. The same answer is the same answer over and over again if we simply would just turn to God. Amen? Let's pray together. Father God, thank you today that you know us so well. Father, oftentimes our hearts are heavy because we try to figure it out ourselves. Much like Abraham and Sarah, that we kind of connive or sneak around and try to make things happen and give you the credit for it. When really it might be opposite the thing that you wanted to do. Father, help us to be faithful to you today. Help us to be ready. At least to the here I am. Lord, help us to listen as well and obey. We're in desperate need, Lord, today, especially in our lives that we live today in our country, around the world. The world is crazy and lost. We got that. But Lord, the church is not better off, not much better off, because the church, Lord, we're leaving our first love, and that's you. I just pray for each one here today that we would commit, Lord, ourselves afresh and anew to, Lord, stand boldly before your throne and say, here I am, Lord. I'm listening. I'm ready to listen and obey. Do with me what you would do. Lord, use my resources. Use my life. Use me for your glory. I want to be called the friend of God. Thank you for your love and care for us, Lord. Thank you for our many blessings. In Jesus' name we pray, for his sake. Amen.